Let's head to Rotorua. Kelly Makiha is senior journalist with the Rotorua Daily Post. Atamarie, welcome, Kelly.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thank you. I've cleared the cobwebs with that little bit of dancing, a little bit of chair dancing.
I was wondering what it was when I was listening to it, going, okay, this is interesting music.
It's regarded as one of the best dance tracks.
Right.
Well, I don't know. It always depends where you are, what the best of anything is.
I'm a country music girl at heart.
Well, we had some country on earlier. Sorry,
I did hear that too.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, no, I did hear the Chris Stapleton. No, so I'm happy.
Now to the news and the story of Harawiri.
Yes, now look, I pride myself on writing stories that matter for our readers in the region, but I'm not sure, Catherine, that there's been quite a story like this that has engaged the community so much. She's a real pearler. So it's over a now-dead stray dog, would you believe? So I'll explain. Harawiri was a terrier cross that ran away from its owner and lived on the side of the road on the busy highway on the eastern outskirts of Rotorua. So for about 15 years, the dog just sat there on the side of the road and watched traffic all day. If you tried to go near her, she'd run away. She was antisocial as. But for some reason, locals just absolutely loved her. And whenever you travelled out that way on your way to Tauranga, you'd always look out for her. And I remember we would do it with the kids as well. You'd drive out and you'd say to the kids, look, can you see Harawiri? And you'd go, yes, 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 yes. And there was much excitement. And then you'd carry on about your day. But locals would feed her, despite the fact that you couldn't approach her. They'd take food over to her. And someone even made her a little A-frame kennel. And then one day she was gone, and I remember writing these stories back in April 2008, and yes, that's how old I am. The city was thrown into mourning as locals wondered where she was. Weeks went by and you know, people were getting really upset, and then one day a tuft of what was thought to be dog hair was found on the road nearby, and it was concluded at the time that Harawiri had been hit by a truck or something. So mourners swung into action. Flowers and letters and cards and whatnot were left by the kennel on the side of the road, and everyone was actually really sad. So it was decided, how are we going to remember Harawiri? So a local committee swung into action, and they decided to build a memorial life-sized statue to remember Harawiri. $10,000 was controversially raised at the time, and the late Fridtjof Hansen from Taranaki, who was quite famous in his time, was put to work to create the statue. It was controversial because I guess a lot of, you know, there was a sector of the community who were thinking, you know, $10,000, that's a lot of money. Should we not be putting this money towards the SPCA or something, you know, more relevant? But anyway, it was raised. A year later, the statue was unveiled, and it stood proudly on the Ngāti Whakaui tribal lands piece of grass on the side of the road near where she would sit every day. And for 15 years, that statue remained until a few weeks ago. So the statue was spotted missing, and it was actually one of our staff members, Ben Fraser's wife, Nikki, on their way back from their family holiday at Easter, who noticed it, and she let us know. And we shot out there and had a look, and sure enough, the statue was gone. It's been lopped off at the paws, and there's only two little paws that remain on this massive rock beside the road. So there's outrage, there's sadness among the community now. I wrote a story, of course, about it, and it just generated so much interest. But then it doesn't stop there. Auckland farmer Alan Cato, bless his heart, got in touch with me last week, and he offered to pay up to $10,000 to get the statue recreated. Our photographer, Andrew Warner, he knows a thing or two about art and contacted local bronze sculptor George Andrews to see if he'd be up for the job. So I'm trying to cut a long story short here, Catherine. It does go on. But we headed up to the Casablanca Theatre, where they thought that the plaster moulds were being stored. So it was quite a sight, really. There was me, Andrew, our photographer, the lady from the theatre, Fiona Keynes, who was involved in the initial fundraising to get the $10,000, and George Andrews, all sifting through boxes and cardboard and shelves and whatnot through this old theatre, trying to find the plaster moulds of Haruwene. Bingo, about half an hour later, we found them. George had a look in the boxes of the moulds, and yep, he reckons he can do the job and recreate Haruwene for the people of Rotorua. So
There
there
you
you have
go.
it.
This reminds me of the Pānia of the Reef scandal, the theft of Pānia of the
Oh,
Reef in 2005 in Napier.
right. Yes, yep, very similar indeed. I mean, the police are involved in this one too. I spoke to our local top cop, Herbie Nafika, this week, and he was saying that they've done what they can. They've scoured the CCTV footage of locals in the area and unfortunately come up with nothing. They've approached scrap metal dealers, but they've drawn a blank. But if I can be a big old tease here, there's more to come on this story. So stay tuned and keep an eye out on our Rotorua Daily Post website. And that's all I can say about that.
All
Right now.
right, I think your sleuthing has gone further than you're letting on. Now, there's
Possibly.
been a street clean-up that hasn't gone as planned.
Oh no, this is a real shocker. So Kāinga Ora has organised a local community initiative to bring residents of Wrigley Road together in Fordlands by helping them dispose of their rubbish free of charge. But it ended up being a smelly, disgusting mess after people from outside the area took advantage. So Kāinga Ora told us that they like to encourage their tenants to keep their properties tidy, like any good landlord would. And sometimes it helps those tenants by doing it that. So what they did is they organised this free day where they brought a lot of skip bins to the area. But instead of just doing it for their own tenants, they invited the whole street. So they did a letter drop of Wrigley Road, and they invited everyone to bring out their rubbish between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Thursday last week. But things turned a bit pear-shaped when people started bringing out, huge mattresses and old fridges, and there was a lot of big rubbish that was dumped. And apparently, at the time, the Kāinga Ora staff told those residents, "Look, they're just too big to chuck in the skip. They're going to take up too much room. Just lean it here up against the side. We'll sort her out." The only problem was when the contractors took off at 4 p.m., they didn't sort it out, and they didn't take the big stuff with them. So there was a few piles left behind of stuff. And then that just grew. So people just kept bringing their things along and dumping it on those piles. Word quickly spread on the local buy sell swap pages on Facebook. Wrigley Road is the place to go. Save yourself $60 or whatever it is to go to the dump and come along and drop your junk here. So residents told us that car loads, trailer loads, even a truck in the middle of the night arrived to dump rubbish on poor old Wrigley Road. One truck dumped 40 tyres, would you believe, in the middle of the night. So what ended up come Monday morning was three mountains of rubbish. There was whiteware, lawnmowers, old mattresses, bikes, you name it. It was just an absolute sight. Dirty nappies. It was awful. So we heard about the mess Monday morning, shot out, got some photos, and then approached the local council and asked them, this is about 9 o'clock in the morning, asked them, what the story was, because at that stage we had no idea. Kāinga Ora apparently got in touch with the council as well. And by midday, the council was out there cleaning it up with trucks. Apparently, Monday morning, people were still bringing their trailer loads of stuff and dumping it off as the council was trying to clean it up. We're yet to get the final tally of what the cost will be, but at the last count, the council have told us it was up to about $4,000. Kāinga Ora has said ratepayers won't foot the bill and it will instead be paid by Kāinga Ora, which I guess is still us paying as taxpayers, though, right? So,
On the upside, people have had a hell of a clean up, obviously.
Oh, I wish
There's
I
been a
knew.
lot of decluttering. Goodness.
Absolutely. I mean, an absolute wonderful idea. And unfortunately, Kāinga Ora had organised some other dates next week, I think it was. One was on Ford Road, I believe, to do something similar, but they've put
Not
those days on
surprisingly.
hold.
Yeah.
No, not surprisingly at all, but yeah, people just take advantage, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you've spoken to us before about this case of a truck driver, a person accused of rape who skipped the country, and any updates on that, by the way?
Yeah, there are. So we're still actually on the hunt for him. Lee Josie is his name, and yeah, he skipped the country last year before his rape trial got underway. And we've done a few stories, like you say, on this. But the upshot is a judge allowed the trial to go ahead in January, despite the fact he was a no-show. The jury found him guilty on all nine charges, including multiple rapes on two different teen girls. And a search warrant was issued in January. Josie had applied for a passport, skipped the country in November, and he's believed to be in Australia. Despite the publicity, he's still wanted, and on Monday he's supposed to have a date with the judge to be sentenced. So it'll be interesting to see, Catherine, between now and Monday, whether he's picked up by the Australian authorities. I keep writing stories about it just to keep reminding him that he's there. This week I interviewed sexual abuse victim support supporter Louise Nicholas, very well known as Louise, who firmly said, for the sake of the victims, this man needs to be found and brought back to New Zealand so he can be held accountable for his crime. So how hard can it be? So yeah, keep an eye out on our Rotorua Daily Post website next week to see what happens there.
And finally, there's a gang crackdown underway in Rotorua. Who is exercising that?
Yeah, so look, this is we had a little bit of gang conflict in March. So this is, it's actually a good news story. If I can do a good news story on gangs, please let me. This is you know, like there was some quite serious incidents that happened in March. We had a shooting and a serious stabbing at a roundabout, but the police swung into action and they got those special search warrants, those special powers under new government legislation, and they spent 10 days cracking down on the gangs, and they say it appears to have worked. And look, I mean, I would probably be the first to know if it hadn't. And everything seems to have died down at the moment, which is great news for Rotorua because we're a beautiful city here. Herbie Nafika, head local top cop, he said that there were 25 searches done over that 10-day period, and they've arrested five people, and they've, you know, got a whole lot of people summons to appear in court. They found homemade machetes, a gun, knuckle dusters and whatnot. But yeah, it just sends a message to these people that, you know, that kind of behaviour that we experienced back in March will not be tolerated, and they'll be held to account.
Kelly, thank you so much for your time. Kia ora, Kelly
no
Makiha,
worries. Kia ora.
Who